T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You know, Peter Scharf, who joins us now, adjunct professor and criminologist at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. Good morning. You can call me bald, and I may not embrace that title, but does it make it any less true, does it?
No. You know, and, you know, we're in desperate trouble. I mean, come on. You know, and last year, in 2021, we had 218 murders, and people were appalled. We were number one in the country. Oh, my God. And then this year, the murder rate is up by over 40%, and we reached the total of last year in 9 months. So, we're off to the races. You know, I'm projecting between 260, 280 murders. A couple of years ago, we had 119 murders. This is bad. And I think what worries people is the nonchalance of the system. They just accept it. They say, oh, the other cities are up in murder.
Now, by the system, you mean who, Peter?
The administration.
Okay. All right.
And it's like, without any particular individual, it's sort of endemic that, it's true, other cities are up. But, if we're number one, no one is as high in terms of murder risk as we are, violent crime risk. And it's like, exactly where we go from here, who's going to lead the charge. We have two groups that are active, you know, the group Linder and Casbon and Fausto are, you know, working with NLPD, trying to tighten their act up, trying to increase patrol presence with reserves, office police. Trying to get more folk boots on the ground. And that could have a positive impact over time. I'm working with the Crime Coalition, and we're trying to work on prevention, structured prevention. But we need a concerted effort. And frankly, we need support from city government to do any of this.
Peter, one worry that I have, if I might interject for a second, is, and it goes to what you said earlier, and I was having a conversation, or we've been having conversations about education, and somehow it got to be acceptable at Louisiana's 49th or 50th that we keep trading places with Mississippi, and it's almost like, yeah, well, that's where we are, and there's no attempt to get us to 40th, not meaningful. There's no attempt to, God forbid, get us to 30th or even 45th. We always languish there. And what you just said scares the hell out of me that, yeah, we're the murder capital of the world, and that somehow that becomes acceptable, or that's just ingrained in the culture. Is that a worry of yours?
Absolutely. You know, and last night I was on a show talking about winning the prize, reaching the 2021 total. And one of the folks from the city said, well, kind of other cities are high as well. You know, no, we're all by ourselves. You know, and what is the plan to get back? My daughter sent me an article about Newark, New Jersey, which at one time was the bottom feeder of police departments. I actually worked with them in the 80s. And they now are digging out. They got $19 million in funding. They are, you know, doing all kinds of innovative techniques to engage the community, to avert violence before it occurs, to work with the gangs, work with the community. They call it a community ecosystem. I like that, where the whole community is engaged. We're drifting to the murder capital of the country passively. We're drifting towards it. And they're cities. And we got comfortable with the idea, well, after COVID, many cities were higher than they were. That's true. But now many of these cities are going in reverse. They're, and Newark being the poster child, you know, for years, number one, you know. I know firsthand how bad it was.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back, Peter. And,
sure.
You know, in terms of accepting whatever as the new norm, I don't think that just happens between cities. I think it can happen within a city, between areas of the city. And you're talking about businesses moving because of crime or refusing to locate there because of crime. I got to ask you, I think the big question sitting on the table you can answer when we come back is that the problem with New Orleans East? Is that why there's no development out there? Because I understand what happened with the hurricane, but that hopefully has been rectified by the Corps of Engineers, but crime's so bad, nobody would even think about building a business there. You can tell me when you come back. 621 and a half, traffic now, WWL. 625 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, taking a deep dive into crime as we do with Peter Scharf, adjunct professor, criminologist at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. If you want to get involved, the Oakland Heart Jeweler talk and text line is 504-260-1870. You're talking about signs of giving up, Peter, and people moving out, Starbucks closing, Betsy's Pancake House. Talking about maybe moving because of crime, and then you're talking about cities accepting it, and I guess what I'm wondering is, within cities, is that the elephant in the room when it comes to New Orleans East, why businesses really, it's so hard to attract a business to open up out there, or so many businesses open and close, is it because of the crime?
Well, let me give you an example that's really close to my heart, and I bet your heart, Betsy's. I moved here because of Betsy's, you know, Betsy's Pancake House on Canal, and same thing is true now in the East. And there was this notice in the paper that, you know, they were threatening to close, and they informed people at the end of the year. Betsy's is an icon of New Orleans. I mean, my, you know, the breakfast is $5.95. People wander over and they talk to you. I was with my friend John Penny there a couple weeks ago, and we, you know, people just come over to your table and they give their opinion on everything in the earth. You know, and how do we lose Betsy's? We lost Starbucks already, and the East had some vibrant businesses, but not now. And crime has taken it over. You're right. And it's we went out there, group. We're looking to create a rehabilitative center. And, you know, there was dope in the air.
You talking about New Orleans East?
Yep.
What does that mean, dope in the air?
I mean, you could just sense. Well, you'd see people dealing drugs up and down the road. You know, and the East has all kinds of potential and great neighborhoods. But
I'm not trying to be naive here, Peter, but you're talking about like standing on a corner, almost like The Wire, that kind of operation?
Yeah, and you know, stopping their car and people leaning in their window.
Mm-hmm, got you.
And that's dope in the air. You know, anybody who tries to set up a business in that environment will fail. The Betsy story really frightened me as well, that the kitchen help who get there at 4 in the morning didn't feel safe going to work. You know, we rant and rave about people, you know, working, but we've got to make it reasonably safe so they can work. And you go up and down even St. Charles, you know, the mecca of urban New Orleans. We talked about that. There are a number of businesses that have closed. Now, is that because people are afraid to go downtown? Are there other economic factors? But the economic impact of violent crime is, I think, as you said, the elephant in the room. You know, at what point, and people talk, you know, the football coach, Jubilee, you know, he called it a day. He didn't believe in the kids, thought they were too difficult and felt unsafe. So he's going to go somewhere else. So you have people like that who care, who are passionate, who want to grow something, and then they just confront this reality that crime is out of control. So this idea that New Orleans is the murder capital of the country, that's almost too abstract, that good people who are trying to earn a living are afraid to do it in the present climate.
It's a damn shame. You know, let's take a break. Pick it up here. We come back. Peter Scharf taking our deep dive into crime. 6:45, quarter till 7. Quickly back to Peter Scharf, adjunct professor, criminologist at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. Somebody's taking me to task, Peter, for talking about New Orleans East, saying that they called me asinine. One of the problem, I can't find it. Anyway, they were saying, that is completely asinine. I will not let him say something so disgusting about the East. Maybe you, maybe me. There are many hardworking Christian families that live, work in the East, and people aren't just out with drugs all over. Ask business like New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood, Weedat's, the exquisite seafood, Taco Bell, PJ's on Reed, how they thrive. It is the people, it is the community. And nobody's saying that New Orleans East is nothing but criminals. What we're saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Peter, that the elephant in the room is the crime situation in New Orleans. I'm a firm believer in free market, and I believe that if there is a profit to be made, a company will locate there, unless there are obstacles that would prevent that from happening. And I got to believe in New Orleans East, when it comes to companies and opening, crime has to be a concern. Yes or no?
Right. And there are wonderful places in New Orleans East. I have a lot of friends that live there. But the issue is that there's a tax, and the tax is a sphere of violence. That, you know, when you think about it, if you're a young person, and you're starting life, is it rational to be here? And that sounds really rough. And in many areas in the city, including New Orleans East, about 50% of the homicides are in the 5th Police District or the 7th.
At Central City?
That's New Orleans East. You know, the rest of the city is kind of like the rest of the United States, but you have these two intensive crime areas, and you can fix it. You know, there were...
Well, let's talk about that. You mentioned in Newark before the break about how terrible they were. If they can reverse the course, and they were mired in violent crime, why not New Orleans? And can we do the same thing they did, or a variation of it?
Right, and they have a passion. You know, this is a cause to get out of the top 10 in murder risks and make the place safe and vibrant. Newark has this ironbound, I worked with the police there, and the incredible areas, Forno's restaurant, the best Portuguese food in the earth, you know, and their assets, and they're protecting their assets, you know, and with a passion. They're also innovative. They're trying all kinds of things, like engaging youth, finding ways to avert violence, mediation techniques, all kinds of things, enhancing the police. They got $19 million in grants. And one of the secrets to getting $19 million in grants, you got to write them. Are we trying to enhance capital to keep ourselves safe? Or have we kind of given up?
Are we?
I think, you know, Mr. Jubilee, the football coach, he gave it up, you know, and we got to stop that. You know, there's a whole science of bringing neighborhoods back. This guy Skozen, who wrote a book called Disorder and Decline. And you know, get the prostitutes off the streets, get the dope dealers off the streets.
So what did Newark, what did Newark do, Peter, that we could do, say, in New Orleans East or wherever crime is most prevalent? What could we do, concrete measures, or does it all come down to having enough law enforcement officers? And the first thing I do is build up NOPD, then you do this, or can you do this now? Because if the first thing you have to do is build up NOPD, it's going to be a long time.
Great question. Community policing is the key. Community policing, what it really is, in some of it, is you're conning the middle class to stay, send their kids to school, live in neighborhoods that may be, quote, transitional. And you know, you got to focus on getting rid of visible misdemeanors, prostitution, drugs, those kind of things, graffiti. And then the other thing, and we have a unique problem, in that our problem isn't just visible misdemeanors, it's violence. You know, you have a life, you want to come home at night, and why put up with a neighborhood where somebody's going to put a gun in your face and say, give it up, man, or whatever it is.
Was it in the East or Gentilly where Judge Pittman's mother got shot?
I have to look that.
Okay.
I think it was in the East. It was in the East.
So that's the point I'm making, where you have good, God-fearing people, Christian people, not that religion has anything to do with it, as this woman says, and when you can't even drive to work, And you worried about taking a bullet, something needs to be done immediately. So let me ask you this. What can be done? What first step can be taken? What idea can be embraced so that something changes between this week and next week? Because has anything really changed between this week and last week when you and I spoke as it relates to violent crime?
Well, I think it may have gotten worse.
Okay, there you go.
You know, also, you know, you take, give an example, the Linda Fricke case. The gal got pulled out of a car and lost her arm and died, right? She's 73 years old. You know, how can we let, as a society, this happen? And, you know, if Linda Fricke can't drive her car down, you know, through mid-city, you know, we got to do something pretty radical. You know,
Peter, what can be done between now? What, give me one thing, one step that can be taken, an idea that can be embraced. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, okay. Aggressive, we have a plan, the Crime Coalition. Reduce attrition and enhance recruitment, get more cops. And stop losing cops. Right now, the issue is we're losing cops, not gaining cops. Okay, the second thing you need to do is you gotta automate, you know, develop an integrated information system that tracks violence and tell the cops where to go. You have 7 different agencies policing New Orleans. If you don't link them in terms of information systems, you're always gonna be behind the curve. We have an old technology infrastructure. We need to update it, right? The third thing is evidence-based programming for youth especially. Lots of counseling doesn't matter, really. You've got to get programs that actually work, that change thinking, that change values. You don't do that, you're not going to do anything with these young Turks. You know, if we did those three things and enhanced our analytics, and we're working to do that. We're bringing a guy from Seattle, Ron Rasmussen, in next week, who's going to look at our IT infrastructure. You know, people are worried about this. The Police Foundation is doing a great job. And now you also have Linder and Casbon and Fausto. You know, you have this initiative with NLPD, where you're tightening operations, you're redeploying troops, you have more boots on the streets. So we're sort of starting in different directions, but we've got to sustain it, enhance it, and build from there.
All right, Peter, thank you. We're out of time. I appreciate it as always, but it seems like nothing ever gets done. We keep talking and talking and talking every week. Anything get done? It's gotten worse. Okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.